Well, the music of J.S. Bach, and for very good reason here this afternoon. We just heard moments from the Cantata 140, and it is Mark Wigmore with you. The Oasis on the New Classical FM, our look at arts and culture. The Toronto Bach Festival returns this spring with its 2026 edition running May 22nd through the 24th, bringing a concentrated weekend of performances devoted to the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. It was founded in 2016 by artistic director John Abinger, and the festival has become a distinctive voice in Toronto's classical music scene, known for its commitment to historically informed performances and its intimate, immersive concert experiences. This year's lineup highlights the breadth of Bach's writing. The festival opening Friday night with a program of double concertos, exploring musical dialogue through works for pairs of soloists, featuring combinations of violin, oboe, and harpsichord. Saturday, offering a midday organ recital, showcasing the power of the architecture of Bach's keyboard writing in a historic Toronto church setting. And the festival closing on Sunday with a lecture and program of cantatas, bringing together voices and instruments in some of Bach's most expressive and deeply human music. All performances taking place in acoustically rich venues, including Eastminster United Church and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, reinforcing the connection between the music and the spaces it was originally intended for. If you'd like to learn more, get passes. TorontoBachFestival.org will give that to you. Again, tickets available as a single concert or festival pass, making it easy to experience as much or as little as the weekend as you like. Joining us is the festival's founder and artistic director, John Abinger. He is one of North America's leading performers on Baroque oboe. John was principal oboist with Tafelmusik Baroque Orchestra for 35 years and has performed extensively across North America, Europe, and Asia with many of the world's leading period instrument ensembles. In addition to his performing career, he's also a passionate music educator. John Abinger, welcome back to the New Classical FM.
Thank you, Mark.
Great to be with you. Remind us why you put this together in the first place. What were you thinking with this event? Because I think there's Bach festivals around the world.
Well, that's exactly it. There are Bach festivals everywhere. And with a great city like Toronto, why shouldn't we have one?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's heard of Bach, right? You never find someone who's never heard of Bach. They may not know much about it or might not have heard his music, but everyone knows about Bach. And that's for a good reason. Bach is one of the greatest composers that ever lived in the Western classical tradition, the Western European classical tradition. So we need a weekend devoted to celebrating his music in all of its varied forms.
So fascinating to me. People come up to me all the time and say, who's your favorite composer? And I say, oh my goodness, well, how would I ever decide? So I often tell people I'll go by period, I'll go by era, I'll go by Baroque, Classicism, Romanticism.
Yep.
And when it comes to the Baroque, you can't beat the master.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so powerful in what he's given to music. And this festival has really grown too, isn't it?
We've experienced wonderful growth, yeah. We started out with just a few concerts to see if there would be uptake in the community, and we were very gratified to find that there was. So every year our audiences expand, and we've enlarged our audiences, and we've added concerts. So
yeah, and the Danforth has been home, which is kind of fun, which is the home of you and I.
That's right.
We should point that out.
Yeah. No, it's great to bring it to that community. I feel like Eastminster Church, many of the listeners may be familiar with going to Tafelmusik at Trinity St. Paul's Center, which has turned into a wonderful, wonderful venue. Eastminster Church is like the Eastern version of Trinity St. Paul's. It's a fantastic venue acoustically.
I've seen numerous concerts there, and I totally agree. Beautiful acoustic. And so let's talk about Friday. It is going to be Eastminster United Church, as you mentioned. Partners in Brilliance, Bach's Double Concertos, and this just feels like something everybody would want to experience, because so often we play them on the radio, but here live in person, you get to have this great night of music.
Yeah. Well, we'll have the famous D minor concerto for two violins that many people are familiar with, and is, like all of Bach's music, justly famous. It's a fantastic work. The concerto for violin and oboe, of course, is a staple of the oboist repertory and one that I've played many times in my career and recorded three different times, I think, in different ensembles and different soloists. So I'm really happy to come back to that piece. And then we've got a handful of other double concertos to make a nice program.
Does it feel like there's a little bit of rarer repertoire in there just to kind of mix it up?
Or? Well, we have one non-Bach work, double concerto for two violins by Telemann, which is a work that Bach had in his personal library.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We've lost so much of what Bach had, but fascinating that we found that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
We've lost so much of his music over the years.
So we know it's a piece that he thought highly of.
Yeah.
And probably performed at his Collegium Musicum concerts. We don't know, but he certainly had copies of all the parts in his library.
Saturday, you have two different events happening. You have your organ recital, which is wonderful and something you've explored over the years, but also your coffee house. So we'll start with the organ recital.
Yes.
Tell us about this grand instrument, a central part of the Bach output. And so what role does this play within the weekend?
Well, Bach's organ music is, to me, his most personal music. Mm. And if you think about a large pipe organ, it puts enormous sonic and musical resources at the disposal of one individual. And I think this is why Bach was able to express some of his most powerful and astounding pieces of music, as well as some of his most personal. Some of the chorale preludes are unbelievably moving. And so we'll hear a selection of all of that, including the famous Toccata and Fugue in D minor. Got to have that, right?
My goodness. I mean, everybody wants to hear that.
That's
one in
right.
person, right?
That's right. So, but you'll hear some other fantastic organ music, so it's not to be missed.
On Saturday, so keep that in mind, the big organ recital. And then we talk about this every year, and your coffee house is so popular. You're doing two of them this year, and one of them is already sold like hotcakes. So.
Yes.
So tell us the theory of the coffee house and why people love it so much.
Well, people love it because it's a relaxed concert atmosphere.
Right.
So you can come and you can get a glass of wine or have a beer, maybe a snack or two, and you can sit at a table and you can talk to your friends and you can listen to great music. Hopefully you don't talk to your friends while we're playing.
Yes, that would be great.
But we want to create not such a straight-laced atmosphere to appreciate this music. And of course, what we're trying to do is recreate Bach's performances at a coffee house in Leipzig, where his Collegium Musicum, which was an instrumental ensemble, performed on a regular basis.
And the venue for the coffee house?
The venue for the coffee house is the Church of the Holy Trinity, right behind the Eaton Center.
Okay, so this is a little different. So you're taking us downtown for that.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic.
Right. It's a fantastic space. The pews have been removed there, so we set it up as a cafe. The acoustic is great. We have R.H. Thompson impersonating Herr Zimmermann.
Yeah, you can see his picture on the website.
And, yeah.
So that's fun.
Sort yeah, of, we have a great time with this. We come up with a great script every time that he riffs on various things. We always have a few surprises. And we'll be performing one of Bach's secular vocal works. There are not nearly as many of these as his sacred vocal works, but they're equally as wonderful. In fact, a lot of them he mined for some of his sacred works. So it's interesting that some of this great music was first composed as a secular work, not as a sacred work.
Absolutely. And we do know that he recycled. You know, he was a good recycler.
He was very clever.
Yes.
Very clever indeed.
Let's talk about Sunday, Voices Lifted, Bach's Celebrated Cantatas. Sunday, May 24th, 3:30 p.m., Eastminster United Church, and often described as deeply human, deeply spiritual, and can be very powerful in performance. So tell us about putting this together on Sunday.
Well, Bach's sacred cantatas are the largest body of his works, excepting maybe his keyboard works, of which there are very many. But it's a huge body of works that he assembled and as a part of his job, presenting a cantata at the regular Sunday services. But this is some of his most fantastic music. So if you like the St. John Passion, you like the Matthew Passion, you'll hear some of the same kind of music in these works. And it just one after another, Bach, we come back to it time and again, and it never disappoints. There's always musical gems there waiting for us to discover. So we've got some great cantatas. They come from a particular annual cycle that he wrote, all based on Lutheran chorales.
Okay.
Some of the experts believe that this collection of cantatas is, in fact, his greatest single work if you take them as a collection.
Wow, that's a big statement. And I love the idea that people can experience something as unique as that. And you and I were just talking off air about those beautiful Pygmalion recordings of the St. Matthew Passion, the St. John Passion. And so if people like that sound, they've been very popular over the last couple of years, this might be the Sunday for you.
This is the way to hear it. You'll hear some amazing music.
Thank you. And people can go for a whole weekend.
Correct. Well, the pass gives you access to all the concerts at a discount. We highly recommend it. If you have an immersive weekend of Bach, you'll get organ music, you'll get instrumental music, you'll get vocal music. We have a lecture for you on Sunday before the cantata concert that will take up the subject of Bach's choral cantatas.
Are you lecturing? Or
no,
lecturing?
It's a gentleman from the U.S., Mike Marison, Michael okay. Marison, who's one of the in the top 10 of Bach scholars, maybe even in the top 5. He's one of the top Bach experts in the world today.
Wow. So he's really going to take us into that music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's on the Sunday, and you do have the weekend passes, the single concerts, and just a wonderful set of pieces throughout the weekend. Did I miss anything?
Still tickets available for the Evening Coffee House.
Evening Coffee House. All right. That is something to remember. It sounds like a lot of fun for people who've enjoyed it over the years. That's why it always sells out. Festival founder, artistic director of the Toronto Bach Festival, John Abinger, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
The Toronto Bach Festival returning this spring with its 2026 edition running May 22nd through the 24th. You can get your tickets at torontobachfestival.org. Of course, I think you can imagine what we're about to listen to right now. More music from the master. Your look at arts and culture here on the new Classical FM.